So this morning, I'm going to take up case number 5 of the Mumonkan, Kyogen's Man Up a Tree. Here it is. Kyogen said, "It's like a man up a tree, hanging from a branch with his mouth. His hands can't grasp the bough. His feet won't reach one. Under the tree is another man who asks him the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West. If he doesn't answer, he evades his duty. If he answers, he'll lose his life. At that time, what should he do?" So how do we get our heart around this one? I think a good place to start is to look at this man, Kyogen. Kyogen found himself in a predicament. And Katsui Sekida has written a lovely, story about the situation that Kyogen found himself in when he was a monk. I'm going to read it to you, but as I do, I'd like to ask you to do your best to kind of step into this. Don't see this from the outside, but really step into what this Kyogen must have experienced, because it was from this experience that he offers this koan to you today, this morning. So, Sekida says, "Kyogen stood 7 feet tall and was a scholar of great erudition. His learning for a long time stood in the way of his enlightenment." I'm just going to pause here and say a small confession, because sometimes I think we don't relate to some of these things. I didn't. I remember hearing about, it seemed like so many of these guys, like they had this great memory, they were amazing as children, they memorized all the sutras, they answered all the questions, and it got in their way. And I had this thought a lot of years ago, actually, that maybe I had a real advantage here, that I never memorized any sutras. I didn't even read them. I was confused with questions. And then I found if it's not one thing, it's another. So it really doesn't matter. We find a way to put stuff in the way. This happened to be his stuff. So it says, "But Isan recognized his innate ability. One day, Isan asked Kyogen, 'When you were here with our teacher Hyakujo,'" apparently, I guess Kyogen started studying with Hyakujo, and Hyakujo died early on, so Isan became the teacher. "You were clever enough to give 10 answers to a single question and hundreds of answers to 10 questions. However, sagacity does not help you in studying Zen. In fact, it stands in the way of your enlightenment. Now, I am not going to ask you about what you've learned from reading from your study of the sutras. Instead, tell me this. What is your real self? The self that existed before you came out of your mother's womb, before you knew east from west." At this question, Kyogen was stupefied and did not know what to say. He racked his brains and offered all sorts of answers, but Isan brushed them aside. At last, Kyogen said, "I beg you, please explain it to me." Isan said, "What I say belongs to my own understanding. How can that benefit your mind's eye?" Kyogen went through his books and the notes he had made and authorities of every school, but could find no words to use as an answer to Isan's question. Sighing to himself, he said, "You cannot fill an empty stomach with paintings of rice cakes." So I'm going to pause here in this and go back to the koan, because this was a metaphor that came from this deep experience Kyogen had. It's like a man up a tree, hanging from a branch with his mouth. His hands can't grasp the bough, his feet won't reach one. Under the tree is another man who asks him the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the west. If he doesn't answer, he evades his duty. If he answers, he'll lose his life. At that time, what should he do? So, it goes on. He then burned his books and papers, saying, "I will give up the study of Buddhism in this life. I will remain a rice gruel monk for the rest of my life and avoid torturing my mind." Sadly, he left Isan. Can you feel that? Can you feel that? What it must have been for him to have devoted all of that and be hopeless and say goodbye to his teacher? He went to Nanyang, where the remains of the national teacher Chu were buried. He took on the self-appointed job of gravekeeper. In the spirit of dejection, he found this humble task best suited to him. The monk thought himself a good-for-nothing creature, but he had developed, before he was aware of it, a great embracing ego. Moreover, he practiced Zazen every day and knew intimately the state of absolute samadhi. Living in this way, he was occupied one day when sweeping, when suddenly a pebble struck the bamboo trunk and made a clear ringing sound. The pebble was alive, the bamboo trunk was alive, and the sound was living too. So, in this koan, Kyogen presents a situation for us that he knows by heart. A metaphor of that situation that Isan set up for him and presented Kyogen with something he could not figure out. It would cost him his life, and Isan could not and would not help him. Kyogen was, as they say, up a tree. After all of that effort, there was nothing, nothing left he could cling to. He burned his books. He begged for help, and it was not forthcoming. But in his search for the truth, what he didn't let go of was the simplicity of the real practice in his mind. And in his devotion to it, he gave up all hope of achievement. This is the ground where your practice grows. Every moment, every bird song, every step of your foot on the floor, every touch of the doorknob, this is the place of entry. So I ask you, have you ever felt like a man up a tree? A woman up a tree sitting on this cushion? Have you ever felt like a man up a tree when you had to go to Doksan? These koan are always about you. Think about your own sitting. Did you ever get frustrated? Angry? Think the whole thing was stupid? Get discouraged? Want to quit? We tend to take these feelings as a bad thing. Frustration is a bad thing. confusion as a bad thing. I got a really good lesson once. I don't know if I've ever told this story, but I was a school psychologist and was given a wonderful opportunity to interview our most successful students and our least successful students in a variety of subject areas. And one area was physics. And I asked the students the question, what do you do when you get confused? And there was such a difference between the two groups, because it was almost guaranteed that in physics they were going to be confused. The students who struggled said, mostly statements about blame. I'm stupid. I'm lazy. The subject's stupid. The teacher doesn't teach things right. The successful students said, they got, when things got confusing, they got curious. This curiosity kept things alive, kept things motivated. I often remembered those students when I was confused, feeling up a tree. Sometimes it helps bring some energy to my practice. Curiosity makes a really good temporary friend on the cushion. It helps us stop recycling what we think we know and open to other possibilities. Curiosity helps us let go of old ideas, ideas about ourselves and ideas about others and ideas about Buddhism. It helps us lighten the load of hopes and dreams and wishes. It helps us investigate what's right under our nose. Curiosity can create an open, uncluttered space to help us explore who we are. But in the end, even curiosity leaves us up a tree. Because curiosity wants to know, wants to get, wants to understand. Can have a yearning for answers. But in the end, like Kyogen, we find that the answers are rejected, all of them. And we're left with nothing to cling to. Following the intellect is like grasping for those branches, grasping for footholds. Following the intellect is like trying to capture the wind. And when we come to Sesshin, we have an opportunity to give up all of our big ideas, all of our pretensions, all of our arrogance. We can give up our words, our comparisons, our companions. We have the opportunity to really shut up and realize we have no ground to stand on. We are up a tree. And what is this tree? One way of looking at it is a place we've created with our own stories. Stories that left us trapped. Stories that leave us out on a limb. And right there is the place we can learn to let go of our answers. We can stop trying to get it right, to be smart, to be good, to be wise. And we can learn to just be with our situation. Kyogen let go of trying to find answers. He became simple and at one with the world as it presented itself, moment to moment. He became one with those simple tasks of the gravekeeper. In this koan, he's asking us to climb up that tree, to be at one biting into that limb, in this moment, is that enough for you? Can you feel your life of this moment? Can you bear to feel what you're actually experiencing? And from right there, how will you respond to the question posed by the other guy under the tree, shouting up, "What is the essence of Zen?" This is not an intellectual question. Essence is core. It's the source. Essence is contacting the emptiness of who you are. How do you do this? How do you realize the emptiness unifies to one thing? In this koan, when Kyogen says if he answers, he'll lose his life, this question, like all questions in Zen, is about aliveness. Your aliveness and your life is at stake here. Can you speak from the essence of who you are? The other day, I read a short poem by Rumi. It spoke to the quality of the practice, I think, required to manifest realization of the aliveness of who you already are. It sounded to me like a good description of Zazen, and it said, "Sit and be quiet. You are drunk and sitting on the edge of a cliff." This is Sesshin. This is time to sober up. How do we sober up? By staying with this practice, this mu, this hu, this breath, the koan, the shikantaza, whatever your practice is. I love the metaphor of a woman up a tree or sitting on the edge of the cliff. There's a life or death quality to it, an alertness, an attention. It's the kind of alive practice that's guaranteed to sober one up. Every moment is an occasion for awakening. Every moment is an occasion to align with what? With that which does not come or go. Thoughts come and go. Feelings come and go. Sensations come and go. Fantasies come and go. But this is always here. It's our home. How do you find it? You have to die to everything you've substituted for it, that you've put in place of it. Kyogen speaks of evading one's duty. What a strange thing to say, don't you think? Duty. Duty to what? Duty to whom? Does he speak to your duty to Buddhism? Your duty to the questioner? Your duty to the tree? Your duty to yourself? Watch out! When you are wholeheartedly out on a limb, where's the separation? Kyogen's question was, what will you do? What will you do? What will you have to die to in order to respond? This is not an intellectual question. This requires a response from your whole heart, mind, body. So Mumon goes on in the commentary to say, though your eloquence flows like a river, it is to no avail. Even if you can explain the whole body of the Buddha's sutras, that also is useless. If you can really answer, you will revive the dead and kill the living. But if you can't answer, you must ask Maitreya when he comes. You will revive the dead. You will revive the essence of that that has been dead to you up until now. As Richard used to say, you will bring life to your life. You will know by direct experience your authentic life. And you will kill the living. You let go of all the opinions and views you clung to so tenaciously. You will see through the illusions that you took as life itself. So Mooman says, but if you can't answer, you must ask Maitreya when he comes. Now Maitreya is the Buddha of the future, and he's coming like 5 billion years after Shakyamuni Buddha, and that is like a really long time to wait. How many sittings, over how many years, have we heard the sound of the horn beating out the moments? Faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. Opportunity moves on and suddenly, time is up. Better do it now. Waiting is hopeless. And as Suzuki Roshi said, it doesn't get better later. If he doesn't answer, he evades his duty. And then goes on to say, if he answers, he will lose his life. At that time, what should he do? What to do? There's a story that I think speaks so beautifully to this. It's in The Hidden Lamp. And The Hidden Lamp is, I think it's subtitled, 25 Stories of 25 Centuries of Buddhist Women. And it's called Ling's Question. Here it is. Ling Jingpo visited Master Fubei to pay her respects. They sat together and drank tea, and she asked him, if a true word can't be spoken, no matter how hard you try, how will you teach? Fubei said, Fubei has nothing to say. Ling was not satisfied. She placed her hands inside her opposite sleeves of her robe and cried out, there is grievous suffering even within the blue sky. Again, Fubei had nothing to say. Ling said, to be a human being is to live in calamity. This story touches me deeply. What do you say? Maybe Fubei was right. All is empty. What can one possibly say? What is the point of opening your mouth if you can't speak a true word? But Ling spoke from the heart. It wasn't about speaking right answers and wrong answers. It wasn't about speech and silence. For the sake of all beings, she was willing to show up, to offer her compassion, her aliveness, her voice. A woman, up a tree, knowing Fubei was correct, but feeling her heart break open. What good is knowing emptiness if it does not burst forth as compassion? So Mumon has written a wonderful verse to this man up a tree koan in true Mumon style. I wish I'd known him. Here's the verse. He says, Kyogen really has bad taste, and he spreads poison limitlessly. He stops up the monks' mouths and then watches them writhe with the black, piercing eyes of a devil. Let's make this sesshin an occasion for aliveness. Let's welcome Kyogen into our sesshin. Let's let him spread his poison freely. Let's let him kill our illusions, illusions about who we are, the illusions about how things should work out, illusions about our life. And let's just face the wall of ourselves. No movies on this wall. Let's find the practice that knows no difference between any activity of life. Let's find our own sincerity of heart by risking everything we hope to cling to and by putting our hand in the hand of practice, no matter what. Let's get curious without trying to figure anything out. Kyogen's wholehearted courage is inside each one of us. Let's sit and walk and eat and experience all of our moments with the sincerity that Kyogen had when he cared for that grave. Give up all hope and just meet each moment with your great, good, sincere, innocent heart. If you do that, all will be well. You will know what to do. We'll end there this morning.